Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together we will succeed.
This is Blog Talk Radio, Tooling Productions, Tool Entertainment represents the Rod Stevie Show, your source for inspiration and information. And as always, we thank you for making us a part of your week and a part of your building for better communities. And as well, always we're brought to you by TQ Mind by Rod, the Science of Wellness. It's back to school time, so what we're trying to do, we're trying to make sure we take care of the parents, the teachers, the coaches, and all those who are looking for that therapeutic wellness plan. You can contact me at tqmindbyrod.gr8.com, facebook.com/tqmind, or you can go on to my Facebook at Rodney Stevenson or at Twitter at rsteve44. This is a special show today because we're talking about mental illness. And this here is brought to you by the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And I want everybody to take this time to hashtag #ActForMentalHealth. #4, mental health. We're trying to make this movement go. On September 4th, NAMI is having a big special event here in D.C. where they're trying to push Congress and push the administrators and the legislature of this country to really tackle this mounting problem of mental illness in this country. And we have to do that because this is not mental illness and issues of mental illness and not start with Robin Williams. You know, that's put in the forefront over the past couple of weeks, and people are gravitating to how can a man that made people laugh for years and years all of a sudden depressed and be down to do the act that he did? And people do not understand that mental illness is not an invisible face. It doesn't have to take a celebrity to understand that there's people that are suffering from mental illness in our society, in our communities, in our families, even in our own household. This is much bigger than one person. This is much bigger than one faith, one gender, one race, one sexual orientation. There's a lot of information that people are losing when it comes down to the numbers of Americans alone that are affected by mental illness. Basically, 1 in 4 adults, approximately 61.5 million Americans, experience mental illness in any given year. Now, and this is not, you know, people look at mental illness as one thing. People look at mental illness as what you see on the movies and on TV, you know, somebody, you know, strapped to a bed or, you know, tied up somewhere or, you know, talking to inanimate objects or something like that. That's the misconception, the misperception of mental illness in the society. There's so many different levels of mental illness that people don't understand, that people are afraid to deal with. And today we want to tackle some of those things because we want to make sure that people understand the signs, people recognize the signs, and what we can do as a community, as a society, to combat these particular issues. And once again, that hashtag is ACT, A-C-T, the number 4, mental health. Hashtag that. Go on to National Alliance of Mental Illness at NAMI.org and find out how you can donate, how you can sponsor, how you can register, how you can even speak your mind about some of the things that might be affecting you in regards to mental illness and mental health awareness. Also on September 20th here in the D.C. metro area in Tysons, Virginia, there's actually going to be a walk that NAMI is sponsoring, NAMI Walks in Tysons Corner, Virginia. Please come out and support if you're in the area. If you want to find out more information on how you can walk, how you can be a part of the team, please inbox me, tweet me. You can go on the site. So that way we can register you to be a part of the team. I have a team of Tranquil Minds. I would love for anybody listening to be a part of that team. That way we can pull together and try to combat mental illness and promote mental health awareness in our society and our community. Now, I gave a number talking about 61.5 million people, approximately 1 in 4 people suffer from some form of mental illness within any given year. Now, that is what's reported, that was estimated. There's so many people that may suffer from mental illness, but they do not report it. They do not address it because it is a stigma in our society, especially in the African American and Hispanic communities. Now, they say that 60% of all adults do some form of treatment for mental illness. Now, you take that element and you put that in the African American and Hispanic community, that number actually drops down to almost half that number. Basically, you go from 6 out of 10 people that are being treated to 1 out of 5 people that are being treated. So basically, you see that in African American and Hispanic communities, this is not being treated. In the Asian community, it's even less that are being treated for mental illness because of the stigma that is in our community. And these are talking about adults. When you come down to children, children that may suffer from mental illness are being completely neglected because parents either don't know how to address it, either afraid that they might push the child away, either afraid that they don't want to have that perception that their child might have something wrong with them. And this is where we have to combat the mental illness that's going on in our society. This here is the impressionable part of the age grade and demographic that is suffering from mental illness. 1/2 of all chronic mental illness begins by the age of 14. So we're talking about that impressionable age, that age of adolescence, where a variety of different mental illnesses take place. Because of the fact that there's a lot of things that go on with the human body at that particular time. And this is what we have to realize. You know, I'm taking off my social commentator hat now. I'm putting on my medical wellness advisor hat on right now. Basically, when a child hits that age, 12, 13, 14, they're going through not only physical changes, they're going through physiological changes, and also you have the social changes that happen. So taking out just the social changes at this particular point, let's just go into the physical and physiological aspect of why it is important that we address mental illness right when they hit that teenage stage in their life. Because think about this. When you do anything, you put a drastic change into that particular system. Of course, there's going to be something that may cause a disconnect, you know, may cause a physiological, chemical disconnect. If you're boiling water and then you add salt to it, basically what that salt does, it raises the temperature. It makes a change. It makes a chemical change into that water. And that's what mentally and physiologically we do once we hit that teenage stage. So if we realize from that aspect there's chemical changes that are going on in the body, then we can add in the emotional changes that are going on with that particular individual as well. That boy, that girl are going through some social changes in the midst of these physiological and physical changes, and that can have a long-term and drastic impact on that particular individual. That's why there is an increasing number of children that are having issues with cyberbullying, with thoughts of suicide, with even suicide attempts because of these physiological and social changes that are going on in their lives. And on top of that, once they start realizing that they have no outlet or no source to go to when they're at 14, 15, 16, when they're 18, 19, 20, they try to find different avenues to handle the mental illness that is that they've been trying to address for a long time, either through possibly, you know, possibly acting out in certain ways, either through criminal aspect, through sexual aspects, through social aspects that are not conducive to their success. They might try to self-medicate themselves through drugs and alcohol or some other element that might try to appease them. Or they might just try to ignore it, blow it off as nothing's going on, try to immerse themselves with the society around them until it gets to that boiling point when they're 20, 25, 30, where mentally they're feeling the stress and pressure of trying to suppress what was the issue when they were 12 and 13 that was not combated in the first place. So this is what we have to realize. We have to recognize these signs. Is my child withdrawn? Is my child in a different element than he or she probably was a couple weeks ago? There are changes in the way they're interacting with their peers or with the people of authority. Things like this are subtle signs. Doesn't mean that your child has some sort of mental illness, but these are signs that you need to talk and address these head on before it can develop into something that they have no control over, or they might not be able to understand. And that's the thing about mental illness. Mental illness can be something that can be understood and controlled, and be something that does not overwhelm or overtake that particular individual if caught at a certain stage in their life. And when it comes down to the African-American Hispanic community, for some reason we have created this stigma that we cannot have mental illness. We have to have this strength. We have to have this bravado, especially as an African-American male or Hispanic male, that we cannot show any type of weakness, any form of weakness, and that's what mental illness is to our community. It's considered a weakness. So this is why that there is this disconnect when it comes down to combating mental illness in our community. We try to address it in subtle ways, but we don't say, I need this assistance. So if you're a person, I'm going to take it from this aspect first. If you're a person that notices these signs, because a lot of times a person that is suffering from mental illness does not notice the signs. So see if you're a person from the outside that is noticing the signs. How do you confront that person and say, you know what, I really feel that, you know, there's something that needs to be done to make sure that you are mentally and emotionally okay. And this, and basically it's just directly addressing that particular person in a comforting and calming manner. You don't have to coddle them because that might push them away, but you have to be direct and be in a comforting and calming manner, and that will help in order to make sure that they are understanding that you're there to help them. Unfortunately, in our society, in our community, we don't handle mental illness in that aspect. We don't pursue trying to assure somebody's mental health in that particular aspect. And this is the problem with why there's a growing number of Hispanic and African American and Asian people that are suffering from mental illness. So we have to figure out how to address this. Unfortunately, in our community, in our society, what we do, we have three different elements when it comes down to dealing with someone who has mental illness. The first step that a lot of us do is laugh it off. You know, that, you know, everybody knows about that crazy uncle that's at the family reunions, or the family member that, you know, people just say, ah, don't mess with him, you know, he's just a little off. But, you know, we love him to death, but he's just a little off. We don't, you know, just laugh it off, brush it off, and just try to play on it like, ah, that's just, you know, our crazy cousin. Don't pay him any mind. And just make light of the fact that this person has a mental illness. A second thing that we do in our society and our community that hinders someone who is from mental illness is we try to scream it off. Basically saying, what's wrong with you? You know, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just lazy. You just need a job. You just need some activities. You're not trying to push yourself further. If you push yourself better, then you wouldn't be dealing with these issues. What's wrong with you? Why are you acting so crazy? That's the wrong approach to combating mental illness and promoting mental health. If somebody's going through a lot of emotional and physiological concerns right now, the worst thing you want to do is scream at them, yell at them, and just say, suck it up and keep it moving. But that's, unfortunately, how we have put this in our society, that especially when it comes down to men, that we have to be the tough guys, we have to be stronger than what we are. So this causes a problem in how we try to address someone who is suffering from mental illness. And then the third part that causes a problem, and I know I'm probably going to get a little heat for this, but we try to pray it off. And while I'm not saying that prayer is not a part or is not a portion of how to deal with mental illness, of course, if you believe in God and you believe that higher being, that power is going to, you know, going to bless you, going to save you, going to relieve you of some of the stress and tension that are in your life, then by all means, you do pray. But you still have to work on that particular, element as well. Prayer alone will not solve that person's mental illness, and that's what people have to understand. There, you know, prayer without work is nothing, and to do that would be a detriment to that person who is trying to combat mental illness. So we got to go beyond the laughing it off with the crazy cousin. We got to go beyond the screaming it off, just trying to make this person feel worse than they probably already do at this time. And we also got to make sure that people understand there's more elements to combating mental illness than just prayer alone. So how do you do that? You notice the signs. You notice that this person is probably trying to reach out for help and just doesn't know how. So you have to recognize there are different elements, there are different places for that person to find support, to find that assistance. And you can actually go on to www.NAMI, N as in Nancy, A, M as in Mary, I.org. And there's different support groups, different peer-to-peer groups, family-to-family groups that can assist somebody in trying to combat their concerns for mental illness and try to give them a stronger mental health aspect. And once again, this is Live TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toilet Man Productions, Toilet Entertainment. And once again, I want to stress the National Day of Action coming up this week, September 4th. And I want everybody to go on to NAMI.org/act for mental health. And I want people to go on and #act4mental health. And there's ways on NAMI.org to donate, to get involved, to become an advocate for NAMI, and also to speak out and inspire others with your message of hope. You know, show others that they're not alone. Sharing your story sometimes can be a big way to help someone else. So that's what this show is all about today, 347-850-1228. And let us know what you feel about this particular topic. Do you feel that there's a growing issue with mental illness because of the way we are not assisting, or is it there's people that want to reach out that are not taking the time, they're taking the opportunity to reach out and try to help themselves? Is there something that you feel that could be addressed, that you want to talk to the legislature, to the congressman? Is this something that should be handled on a local level or something that should be handled on a national level? Let me know what you think about this particular topic, because this is something that is not just a nameless, faceless thing. This affects everybody. When you look at just some of the numbers of the impact of mental illness in America, and this is all from the NAMI.org website, their fact sheet, these are experts that have studied this, that are trying to help people out, and it's unbelievable. Approximately 26% of homeless adults live with a serious mental illness. 46% live with a severe mental illness and substance use disorders. These are not people that just wanted to be on the street, that didn't want to do anything, that didn't strive for anything. These were soldiers. These were fathers. These were successful businessmen and women. These were, you know, successful mothers that were working hard to try to feed their families. And these are, you know, people that came back from wars, from fighting for our country, fighting to help other countries around the world. They come home, and a sign of mental illness is post-traumatic stress disorder. That is a part of mental illness. Anxiety disorders, panic disorders. phobias, these happen directly a lot of times in our military as well, because there's a lack of resource that is helping people with this. And we have to understand that if we don't take care of those that are helping our country, we don't take care of these soldiers, don't take care of these people that are coming back from the military, then it causes a really big rift and a really big problem when it comes down to trying to combat mental illness in our country. You know, this is something when we see these war, Vietnam War veterans, Gulf War veterans, on the side of the street, and they're down and they're out and they feel they're lost and they feel like they're not a part of society, and people just look at them and just walk past them. People don't understand that there's a more underlying issue that is going on with them, and that there are people out there that can help them with this particular situation. And that's why NAMI's doing some big things. And like I said, once again, hashtag Act for Mental Health, and just see if we can try to get that going here. Now, I have a caller on the air right now calling from Baltimore area. Caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hey, Rod, this is Christy Thornton. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. As you know, I've been connected with the National Alliance on Mental Illness for several years now, and I think you asked one of the most important questions when you asked where does it start? Where do we start? Does it start on a one-on-one level, or does it start with political advocacy and action? And, I would say it really does start in a grassroots way. It starts with each of us, the people who are listening to the message that you're delivering tonight, being willing to be vulnerable with one another. What people want is compassionate, empathetic people. They want to know that they're not alone, and when they feel that they won't be criticized and shamed for experiencing a mental illness, they are more likely to go and get the help that's available so that they can live better lives. So I think if we're each willing, one by one, to humble ourselves and make ourselves vulnerable and talk about our own experiences, whether we've experienced periods of depression or whether we're living with bipolar disorder or schizophrenia or personality disorders, whether we have it in our family, instead of being ashamed about it and unwilling to discuss it, when we step up and we're willing to say, you know what, me too, it really goes a long way to help somebody else toward their recovery.
Exactly, and that's what this show is all about, and that's, I know, what your organization has really been involved with and been trying to develop throughout not only just the D.C. metro area, not only through the state of Maryland, but across the country, and trying to help people recognize that mental illness is not just something you just sweep under the rug and just try to push that family member aside. There are different areas and different organizations that are working and different people that are working hard to try to assist those who are combating mental illness. So I know you probably have a little more information on this whole this National Day of Action that NAMI is doing on September 4th. So if you don't mind just sharing just a couple minutes on that for me.
Yeah, the National Day of Action is actually happening this week because Congress goes into recess on September 15th. So it's really important for us annually to congregate all of our supporters across the country and really try to get Congress to act in the favor of people living with mental illness. We've had some success over the years, and we have a lot of supporters in the political realm with Parity and other acts that have gone forward. But we just have to continue in the fight, and we have to continue to stress that mental illness is an illness like any other. That being said, it's no different than having cancer or ALS or diabetes or suffering from any other chronic condition. It's a brain disorder, and it should be treated the same way. It should be accommodated the same way. It should be covered the same way. And so it's important for us to go out, those of us who have experienced it or have loved someone who have experienced it or just know that it's the right thing to do, and continue to advocate that it just become part of the political discussion, part of what's important to America. When Robin Williams passed away, it was unfortunate, and there was a lot of buzz, like you said, around his death. But it's important that we take that unfortunate situation and turn it into just an ongoing conversation about the need for some of the laws to change, the need for some of the stigma to continue to be eliminated. And that's what the Act for Mental Health is all about, all of us kind of rallying together and asking Congress to take a continuous stand on our issues.
Thank you very much, Chrissy, for sharing that information. And like I said, it's September 4th. Right here in Washington, D.C. So if anybody's in the area, and they want to come out. Just you know, you can go on to NAMI.org, and you can find out different ways to not only share your voice, to register, to speak out to your congressman, but also donate. You know, this organizations, we do need finances, do need money to help to push the cause as well. So any donations are definitely well received as well. So once again, Chrissy, thank you for that. And I think you just had an event up in New York last week, correct, or very recently?
Well, you know, we have events all over the country, so it's hard to keep track. The wonderful thing about NAMI is that we have presence in every state. We have affiliates in almost every local community. We've grown so much over the years, and we continue to be the nation's largest presence as far as a mental health advocacy group, as far as we are the only organization that actually offers support to families. So most organizations that deal with mental illness deal with the patient, but they typically don't offer support for families. So our family-to-family program is really a great entryway for people who are looking for understanding, looking at how to speak to someone who may be in crisis, how to relate to someone that they love that may be experiencing a mental illness. And so the event that's coming up on September 20th that you already referenced in Tyson's Corner, it's one of 85 walks that's going on across the country, 2014. And, you know, we walk for two reasons, to raise awareness and to raise funds, because all of our services are offered to the community at absolutely no cost. In order to continue and maintain that, we have to raise the funds. And so it's really important that people not just come out to Walk Day on the 20th, but join your team and actually be active in talking to people about mental illness and the need for more conversations to eradicate stigma and to actually raise money so that we can continue our good work.
All right. And thank you once again, Chrissy. And like I said, I definitely will be out there full support this week and just in the future as well. So definitely appreciate it. And anytime you want, you're more than welcome to come on the show with any topics. And this is not just going to be a one-time thing. We're going to continue this throughout the upcoming weeks and upcoming months, so that way people understand and are aware of what's going on in our community.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Thank you. So now we know exactly what's going on here. These are just my final thoughts on this. Like Chrissy said, this is not just a one-time thing. This is not something that, you know, that can be cured with just, you know, just a wave of a magic wand. When someone has the mental illness or trying to find that way to have that proper mental health, it takes a lot of steps. It takes just acknowledging it. It takes, you know, working on it individually. It takes having the families involved, and organizations like NAMI are trying to do that at little to no cost to the person, little to no cost to the families, and trying to make it aware this is something that can be done. So September 4th, National Day of Action, Act for Mental Health, hashtag Act for Mental Health, and we're going to try to make this a really big event. I'm going to try to see if I can get some pictures, get some activity, so that way you can see exactly what's going on. And once again, this is Rod TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. Anybody, once again, the D.C. metro area that wants to take part in the walk in Virginia, please hit me up on Twitter at RC44, Facebook.com/TranquilMind. We have a campaign on, got some T-shirts. We got some big things going to try to make sure that we can not only raise awareness but also raise the funds, like Chrissy said, so that way we can keep organizations like this going. And contact your congressman, contact your congressperson, so that way we know that we are doing the right thing and they know that we're on their doorstep making sure that things get done. So, as always, thank you for listening to the show. We have our Love Talk show tomorrow, Doug Love and I. We'll be talking with our usual weekly show. And as always, I'll be back next week. So once again, this is the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. And until next time, we'll talk.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.